Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the 49ers Insider Podcast on NBC Sports Bay Area.com. Introducing your host, San Francisco 49ers Insider, Matt Mayoko.
This week on the 49ers Insider Podcast, brought to you by Evergood Sausage Company, we check in with Greg Cosell. He's the executive producer and analyst of NFL Matchup on ESPN, as well as a senior producer at NFL Films, and nobody watches more film than Greg Cosell. And with the 49ers opening training camp next week, figured this would be a very good time to check up on him and see about his off-season film study and maybe what teams might be looking at as far as Jimmy Garoppolo. He had the 5 starts last season, and now he starts off, obviously, as the 49ers quarterback. So those early season games, those opponents, what will they be honing in on? What have they been watching? What tells might Jimmy Garoppolo have given during those 5 games last season that teams, that defenses will try to really pinpoint this year and try to exploit? Greg Cosell coming up right now on the 49ers Insider Podcast. And I'm joined now by Greg Cosell. And Greg, thank you so much for joining me on the 49ers Insider Podcast.
Matt, it's good to be with you. It's been a while.
It has been a while, and probably the last time I talked to you, I saw you at the combine and such, so there was the optimism. But as we get closer to training camp, it seems to me, and you know, the media outlets and certainly the fan base feeling pretty good about the 49ers heading into the 2018 season. I just wanted to get your perspective. Are the fans feelings about this could be a special year for the 49ers? Do you think there's a chance there?
Well, I guess special, and that's a relative term. I don't know if we're talking about Super Bowl champion, but I think they're clearly headed in the right direction. I think they've got a terrific coach in Kyle Shanahan, who when you talk to defensive coaches around the league, they will talk about Kyle Shanahan as one of the 2 or 3 best in the league when it comes to offensive design and game planning. I think now that they have Jimmy Garoppolo signed, sealed, and delivered, I think they have a quarterback that has a chance to be a top-level quarterback. And I think they're trying to put the pieces together, on both sides of the ball. But I think this is a team that clearly is trending upward.
Yeah, so when you look at this offseason where Garoppolo had the 5 starts, 49ers opened the year September 9th against the Vikings, what do you think Mike Zimmer and the Vikings defensive coordinator, George Edwards, what do you think that they've tried to hone in on, or what do you think they see when they watch those 5 games with Jimmy Garoppolo at quarterback for the 49ers?
Well, I don't know if it's Garoppolo as an individual as much as it is the concepts of the offense. I think when you look at a Kyle Shanahan offense, I think the thing that stands out the most that he does better than any coach in the NFL is the fusion between the run game and the pass game. The run game and the pass game with their play-action concepts look exactly the same, and it's very, very difficult for defenses to differentiate the two very often until it's too late. And I think when you have a quarterback like Garoppolo, who tends to be a quick decision maker, a quick processor, he has a very quick, compact delivery, and then the ball gets out, I think that just makes it even more difficult.
And so one of the 49ers' big priorities of the offseason was to get a running back. They liked Carlos Hyde, but they just didn't think that he made enough plays on his own and wasn't as good in space as the guy they ended up signing, Jerick McKinnon. So
yeah.
You talk about that fusion of offense with the passing game and the running game. How do you envision Jerick McKinnon fitting into Kyle Shanahan's scheme?
Well, I think when you look at what Kyle does, I don't think his offense is contingent upon, even though it starts with the zone run game, Matt, and the outside zone run game, I don't think his offense is dependent upon one back getting 300 or 350 carries. And I think if you look at what the situation was with Kyle in Atlanta, where they had a back like Freeman, Devonta Freeman, and you could make the argument that stylistically Jerick McKinnon is similar, Freeman in Atlanta would get 220 carries, give or take. And I think they see McKinnon along those lines. Now, obviously in Atlanta, you had a second back as well. And I think they liked what they saw of Matt Breida last year. I know that Kyle really liked Joe Williams coming out of Utah, who obviously missed last year and I assume is back healthy. So I think they feel they have a second back on the roster who can get meaningful snaps. But I think McKinnon, they envision him in that offense. Kyle envisions him as a similar stylistic player as a Devonta Freeman.
And then with the passing game, you know, they didn't go out and get a wide receiver in free agency, but they did select Dante Pettis in the second round. In watching him in college, do you think that he has the skill set that he could be a versatile weapon and line up in a lot of different spots?
Well, they clearly thought that, or they would not have drafted him in the second round. He's a long kid. He probably needs an NFL weight room to just build up some muscle and get a little stronger. He's got some juice to him. Again, in a Kyle Shanahan offense, I think he sees him as a multiple position player. And I think that's what's so good when you have a coach like Kyle. Is players like that, it's very hard to pigeonhole them. You know, people might look at a particular receiver, as you know, Matt, when people talk about receivers, well, he's a slot receiver. Well, I think Kyle sees it a little more expansively. I don't think he sees a player as he can only do this. And I think Dante Pettis, they clearly feel, can line up in multiple spots and be effective. And where they drafted him tells you that.
Do you have any concerns about the playmakers that the 49ers have in the passing game? Pierre Garçon wasn't healthy when Garoppolo moved into the lineup, so he'll be coming back. But Marquise Goodwin, Trent Taylor, you know, some of the other guys, Aldrick Robinson, Kendrick Bourne. Do you have any concerns about, you know, what the 49ers can get out of that wide receiver position?
Well, I think the knee-jerk response would be they don't have the one star, the so-called number one receiver that theoretically every team would like to have. But and I'm not saying the Niners don't want that guy. Everybody wants a great player. But I think the feeling would be that within the context of that offense and how well constructed it is and how well designed it is and well schemed it is, that they can still function very effectively in the pass game without having, you know, the DeAndre Hopkins, the Julio Jones, the Antonio Brown receiver on the outside.
The optimism is up there a little bit this season because of Jimmy Garoppolo, the manner in which they acquired him. What was most impressive to you about those five starts that he had late in the season?
Well, I think just the efficiency with which he ran the offense. It's a highly schemed offense, and it's if you're reading things correctly, then the ball should come out within rhythm, within timing. Essentially, playing quarterback is getting the ball to the right receiver at the right time with the right kind of throw. And I think Jimmy Garoppolo did that. Now, the other thing that I think he's very, very good at, and I think it's critical in the NFL for a pocket player, and even though Garoppolo has movement ability, he's essentially a pocket quarterback, is what I call late in the down throws, Matt, where you're not just hitting your back foot on your drop and delivering the ball. You're hitting your back foot. You're waiting a beat in the pocket, but you're not leaving the pocket. So it's still part of the timing of the play. It's just later in the down. And I think Garoppolo is very, very good at that. And with that snap delivery and good velocity at the intermediate levels of the defense, he's really effective with those kinds of throws, which I think are so critical in the NFL game.
He does seem to be really good at, like you said, those throws where maybe his feet aren't set or his arm angle is a little
right.
bit funky. Are there any other guys in the NFL that you can kind of look to? Obviously Aaron Rodgers is one, and I know Tom Brady and Jimmy Garoppolo have watched a lot of film on him. I mean, is that kind of a really unique trait in a quarterback?
Well, you know, I've always been a believer that you shouldn't throw the ball from different platforms unless it's absolutely necessary to do that. He's capable of that. You know, a quarterback who comes to mind who's like that, I don't think Garoppolo's arm is not as strong as this player's, but Matthew Stafford's like that to some degree. He can make those kinds of throws as well, late in the down, different platforms. You know, you don't want to do that unless the defense demands that you do that, because otherwise you get into bad habits throwing the ball and you start to lose your accuracy. But I think Garoppolo, for the most part, is a naturally accurate thrower of the football, and he does have that snap delivery, and that kind of delivery really helps you on those late in the down throws, because normally, Matt, those kinds of throws, there are a lot of bodies around you, because obviously the later you get in the down, the more the defense gets closer to the quarterback.
Yeah, if there's one negative from watching Jimmy, it would be maybe the deep throw isn't as accurate. I don't think he hit on very many last season when he got in there. And
right.
then during the offseason program, you know, at times he struggled with that deep throw. Is there do you see that too? And is there anything mechanical that he needs to kind of tighten up to be more accurate on those deep throws?
Well, you know, because he has very quick feet, I think people just assume that he has great feet all the time when he delivers the ball. There's a difference between having quick athletic feet and having really good quarterback feet. And I think he needs to work on the quarterback feet part, because I think guys who have that kind of snap delivery, Matt, very often, sometimes they don't step exactly to their throw and they throw a little bit off balance, and that could really impact your accuracy to a significant degree. So my guess is that those are the kinds of things they've worked on. Those are tweaks. I don't think it will prevent him from being a really good player, but you want to make sure that you're stepping to your throw, that your eyes, that your feet are moving with your eyes, and that you're delivering the ball with a proper base and balance. Because, think of a major league pitcher. You know, they theoretically should throw the ball the same way every time. So should a quarterback, unless the defense dictates otherwise. If the defense doesn't dictate otherwise, the throws should look the same. Think of the Tom Brady's, the Peyton Manning's, the Drew Brees's. That's what we're hoping Jimmy Garoppolo becomes. You know, they look the same on every throw.
And now this message.
I can't wait to spend some quality time with my son fishing this year, teaching him about casting, how to choose bait, set the hook, and how to be safe on the water by always wearing a life jacket. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
The 49ers Insider Podcast is brought to you by Evergood Sausage Company, bringing you locally smoked, handmade sausages out of San Francisco for 92 years. Family owned. The quarterback situation in the NFC West, I think, is really intriguing, because conceivably, you know, if Josh Rosen becomes the starter early in the season for the Arizona Cardinals, I mean, you could have four quarterbacks who are in this division for a long, long time, with
yep.
Jimmy Garoppolo, Jared Goff, Russell Wilson, and Josh Rosen. What do you think about, you know, the future of the NFC West, you know, the short term this year, and then just the long term with those four quarterbacks running their respective teams?
No, I mean, it's a very, very competitive division now. And if you get quality quarterback play, obviously you always have a chance. It's really interesting, too, because, you know, I mentioned that a lot of defensive coaches talk about Kyle Shanahan. They also talk about Sean McVay. You may have the two offensive coaches in the NFL in one division that are the two coaches that defensive coaches in the league almost have the most respect for. So it's really fascinating. You know, I think one player we should mention who I really liked coming out of college, and I know he fought some injuries last year, but I think that he has a chance to be a really meaningful part of this offense, and that's George Kittle. I think George Kittle is a really good tight end who can do a lot of things because of where he came out of Iowa. He can line up and be a really good blocking tight end. And obviously we know that Kyle's offense does start with the run game. And I think he's a more athletic than people probably give him credit for. I remember studying him, Matt, coming out of Iowa and looking at some of his combine measurables. Some of his combine measurables were superior to those of O.J. Howard from Alabama. And I think people would be surprised by that.
So in Kyle Shanahan's system, slot receiver and tight end, there's opportunities there to make a lot of catches, aren't there?
No question. It's always hard, and I know you're not asking me this, but I'm just throwing it out. It's always hard to say, well, this guy's going to catch X number of balls. You know, I'm not going to sit here and say George Kittle's going to go 80 catches. But, I mean, in this offense, you know, we saw – I mean, even before Garoppolo took over, and even when Brian Hoyer was playing early in the season, and Brian missed some throws to Kittle where, you know, the offensive design got Kittle open at the intermediate and even deeper levels. And I think that, you know, those designs are part of Kyle's offense. And I think Kittle's going to get some opportunities. And it wouldn't surprise me if Kittle is in this offense, he might not catch 80 balls, but he might average 14, 15 yards a catch. And for a tight end, that's pretty darn good.
Yeah, and that was one of the things that they really wanted him to work on his body and flexibility so he could stay healthy. And on the other side of the ball, the 49ers defense got a lot better late in the season once they got healthy and there was some continuity, and it probably didn't hurt that Jimmy Garoppolo was stringing together some first downs. But the 49ers defense, just what do you think? I mean, do they have the firepower on defense to be a championship level, you know, compete for an NFC West championship?
Well, I think when you look up front, they're counting on two guys really to be driving forces here, and that's DeForest Buckner and Solomon Thomas. And I think Buckner has really taken steps where this could be the year that he becomes a dominant player. And I think Solomon Thomas, as you know, Matt, covering the team, he sort of had to work through his rookie season. He struggled early. He got a little better later in the season. I think they're now expecting him to be a good player. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you he's going to get X number of sacks, but I think that those two players are probably the guys that they're counting on to be the lead dogs on the defensive front. I think ultimately the Reuben Foster situation is something that we need to see it play out. We know he's going to miss the first two games. I think that he can be a terrific player. I thought Reuben Foster was the second best prospect in the entire draft last year. And I know a lot of people felt the same way. The reason he wasn't drafted is just because of what's happened. There were concerns with off the field. But if he can come back, stay healthy, and play, I think their linebacking core becomes pretty interesting as well. Their secondary, to me, has a chance to be really, really good. I think assuming health with Richard Sherman, that he can still play at a relatively high level. He clearly knows the defense because it's the Seattle defense. And then Saleh came from Seattle, spent a number of years there. I think Witherspoon opposite him is a perfect fit with that length and that movement. I think they're strong at safety. I think this is a secondary that has a chance to be very, very good. So I think the defense, as it progresses, it may not be real good the first 4 or 5 weeks. My guess is as it progresses, it'll be a really solid defense.
I think probably the biggest issue would be, I think the 49ers feel good about DeForest Buckner and what he brings to the table as a pass rusher. But, you know, who else is going to be able to get to the quarterback and supply solid pressure, steady pressure, consistent pressure?
Yeah, I think that's, a player that's intriguing to me. I believe he's still on the roster, is Atachu. Jeremiah Atachu's still there, right?
Yes, he is.
Yeah, now, he was a kid who came out of Georgia Tech, and I thought he had a chance to be a quality pass rusher in the league. It didn't quite work out in San Diego. You know, he's now obviously here looking for that next opportunity. Again,
yeah, a one-year prove-it deal.
Yeah, and I don't know, you know, where he stands physically at this point in his career, but I think he has pass rush skill, and I think unless something has gone wrong with him somewhere along the line, I think he's going to get an opportunity to see if he can be an edge rusher in the context of this defense.
You mentioned Reuben Foster, and I know you really liked him coming out of college. Did you see a lot of those skills translate to the NFL when he was healthy and on the field? Was he the kind of player you expected him to be?
Yeah, and unfortunately, because he had some issues last year as well, you know, he didn't get a chance to play as much as I hoped, but you could see it. You know, he's an explosive, dynamic kid, and I think if he can come back after 2 weeks, be healthy, stay on the field, and play the next 14 games, I think you'll see Reuben Foster develop into a really fine linebacker.
Are you surprised that just a year in, granted they only won 6 games last year, but are you surprised they're at this point right now, we're heading into year 2, there is that kind of optimism that, you know, they're starting to get the players that they want, they got the quarterback, that there's some reason for genuine hope going into this season after just one season, that they put themselves in that spot?
Well, I think it obviously starts with the quarterback, and then people feel that Jimmy Garoppolo will be a really fine quarterback, and I don't think there's any reason at this point to see otherwise. What level he becomes, that remains to be seen. So, you know, again, I'm not one of those people that's going to sit here. I know there's a ton of optimism. It's a football, you know, town in many ways. I mean, obviously you got the Warriors, but I mean, the Niners, you know, going back historically, they've been a winning organization. They've won Super Bowls. They're trying to get back there. So they're definitely trending up. Maybe I've seen a lot of football, Matt. I'm always leery of saying, oh, well, this team's going to be 14-2, you know, but clearly they're trending up. I think they're moving in the right direction. I think they're getting the kinds of players they want to get. I think McGlinchey is that kind of guy. You know, he may not be the most talented tackle prospect you're ever going to see, but he's an unbelievable kid, and you know he's going to line up and play the right way every single day. And, you know, I think they want those kinds of players.
Yeah, and it'll be nice for you because you get to watch some new game film here coming in a few weeks.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited, you know, about being back on the radio in San Francisco. And actually, you know, hopefully we have a team that, again, we don't know the number of wins, but the team's going to be competitive. You know, they have good players. It's not a bad roster, and they've got a good quarterback.
Yeah, so you'll be on KNBR again this year. What day of the week do you know?
Well, assuming it's the same as last year, I was on Wednesday late afternoon West Coast time with John Lund and Tolbert, Mr. T, I guess, as yeah, we like to call him out there, and then Fridays with Gary and Larry. So
they keep you on your toes.
Yes. Larry, we talk football. Gary provides the humor.
Great. Well, Greg Cosell, the executive producer and analyst of NFL Matchup on ESPN and senior producer NFL Films. Greg, it is always a pleasure to talk to you, to hear you break it down, and wish you nothing but the best as training camps open around the NFL here very shortly.
They're here, Matt. Yes, they are. But thanks. I appreciate it. Looking forward to another great season.
You've been listening to the 49ers Insider Podcast. If you haven't already, please visit Apple Podcasts or Google Play to subscribe, and please give us a rating and a review. You can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at NBCS Authentic. We'll be back next week with another great edition of the 49ers Insider Podcast. Thank you for listening.
The 49ers Insider Podcast on NBC Sports Bay Area.com.